Well, Republicans had a big night last night around the country and here in Wisconsin. We'll break down the election results and welcome your questions and views all morning long as we talk with guests from many different perspectives. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 10 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, November 5th. Well, as you may have heard in the news, Governor Walker was reelected last night. Republican Brad Schimmel was elected Attorney General. Republicans picked up the three state Senate seats that the Democrats had been targeting. Republican State Senator Glenn Grothman was the victor in the open 6th Congressional District. And Republicans nationally took control of the U.S. Senate away from the Democrats. So what happened? Who won and why? And what is your greatest political hope or fear now? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. What's going through your mind this morning post-election? Well, our first guest is Dennis Driesing, Professor Emeritus of Public Affairs and Political Science at UW-Madison, the founding director of the La Follette School of Public Affairs. Good morning.
Good morning.
So we'll get into some specifics as we go along, but why do you think, generally, Republicans had such a big, successful night last night, not only around the country, but here in Wisconsin?
Well, going into the election, everybody, Republicans and Democrats and analysts from all sorts of different perspectives focused on turnover as a key issue. And I think that was right. And I think that one major response to your question is turnover. The turnover that Democrats were hoping for, which was to approach what we have in presidential elections, just didn't happen. It was a record turnover for a non-presidential election, but it was more at kind of recall levels than it was at presidential. So I think that's a major issue. I think other things that the Republicans had going for them was kind of nationally, a sense of discontent, although in Wisconsin, in polls, most people indicated that they thought things were not all that bad and the state was generally going in the right direction. And I think that really helped the Republicans generally, since the Republicans have been in control of our state government.
So you're saying that in order for a Democrat to win in Wisconsin, there needs to be a 70-80% voter turnout?
Yes. If you take a look at what happens in presidential years, for example, it is very rare for a Republican presidential candidate to win in Wisconsin. When President Obama was reelected 2 years ago, there were more people who voted for Democrats for all offices around the state of Wisconsin than for Republicans, even though the Republicans captured control of the state legislature. That was really more a function of how the districts are drawn than how the votes were cast. But on statewide issues, or taking a look at things statewide, during presidential years, the state really looks very blue instead of very red.
So why is it that voters in Wisconsin are less likely to vote in a midterm than they are in a presidential election?
Well, we kind of are a microcosm of the country as a whole. And for decades, in what are often referred to as off-year elections, meaning that the president isn't on the ballot, you tend to get fewer people who are either new to voting, focusing and excited about voting. In other words, the young people, racial minorities vote in less numbers, poor people vote in less numbers. And those are all parts of the Democratic constituency or the Democratic coalition. So the you take, for example, the most important county for Republicans in the state of Wisconsin, Waukesha. Got a lot of people there, and they support Republicans very, very solidly. It doesn't make any difference if it's a presidential or a non-presidential year. 63% of eligible voters in Waukesha vote. If you take a look at Milwaukee as an example of where Democrats tend to prevail, in non-presidential years like this one, you get 47% voting. During presidential years, it's 72% voting. That's a difference of 80,000 votes. That's how that translates. That's a lot of votes that if you're a Republican presidential candidate, you've really got to struggle to try and make that up.
Yeah. Well, the conventional wisdom was that this gubernatorial race was going to be close and down to the wire, at least until the week before the election. The polls were tied, essentially, and the Marquette poll did veer to a 7-point lead, I think, then. But still, other polls were showing it neck and neck. So how surprised were you that we knew the outcome as early as we did last night? The network started calling the race a little after 9 o'clock.
Well, I think that I wasn't all that surprised in that it looked like, even though we still don't have full turnout information, that the turnout just wasn't coming out the way it does in presidential years, and that's a major indicator. I think that the last totals I saw, there were about 2.3 million people voted in Wisconsin yesterday. For Democrats to really do well, it's got to be well over 2.5 million people voting. So that's a major indicator. I think one thing that we have to keep in mind as we look at the polls that were taken prior to the election is that the Marquette poll that was publicized, the last Marquette poll that was done, the major number there was where they really focused primarily on the people who said they definitely, very definitely were going to vote, the most likely voters, not just likely voters, but the most likely voters. And again, we're talking about turnout, and it was among the most likely voters, the people who actually did show up at the polls, that we had that 7-point lead for Governor Walker. The other polls that were publicized and done in the days leading up to the election did not do the same thing. They didn't screen for the most likely voters. They did do a screening for likely versus non-likely. And when you're looking at those numbers, one of the things that you have to keep in mind, too, is that a lot of people, when asked, are you going to vote, they'll say, well, yeah, probably so. Because they learned in second grade civics class that that's the right answer. You take a look at those poll numbers, and more people say that they will vote than actually do vote. And so that's why focusing on the people who say, oh, yeah, absolutely, definitely, no question about it, is going to be the most reliable way of going forward.
Well, according to the tally right now, with 99% of the vote tallied, Governor Walker garnered 52% of the vote to Mary Burke's 47% of the vote. We need to take a quick break, and then we will also welcome your reactions to the election results. We'll welcome your questions, your views. Why do you suppose the race for governor turned out the way it did? We'll also talk about the race for attorney general and some of the other key statewide races. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Dennis Driesang, who is a professor emeritus of public affairs and political science at UW-Madison. This is the Ideas Network. We are recapping and analyzing yesterday's election results, talking with our political analyst for this first hour. We will talk with a wide variety of guests throughout the morning. We'll have two guests from different perspectives in our next hour. We'll have four different guests in our 8 o'clock hour, including former Republican Governor Tommy Thompson, coming up after 8. And we want to hear from you, too. What is your reaction to the election results, which found Governor Walker reelected, a Republican Attorney General candidate, Brad Schimmel elected? Republicans picked up 3 state Senate seats that the Democrats had been targeting. Republican State Senator Glenn Grothman won the open 6th congressional district, and Republicans nationally took control of the U.S. Senate. So what happened? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I think the only Democrat that survived a statewide race last night, Dennis Dreesing, was Secretary of State Doug La Follette, and it was maybe closer than usual.
Yes, it was closer than usual. Doug La Follette, who I think quite candidly benefits from his last name, is a storied name in Wisconsin politics, even though technically he's not fully related to Fighting Bob La Follette. He survived again, and he has a number of times when Republicans have swept the other statewide offices. I think the other issue with the Secretary of State office is that the main issue there seems to be whether or not we still should have a Secretary of State. Doesn't mean a whole lot in the overall scheme of things, but it is an interesting kind of phenomenon.
Let's take some calls. We have Janice in La Crosse with us first. Hello, Janice.
Hi. Hello, Joy, and your guests. And yay, Joy, I'm so excited that Scott Walker won. I'm so thrilled. I'm really happy for the Republicans, and I'm especially, I have to give Scott Walker, you know, the congratulations I can give to him after what he's been through to me with the press and the media. I mean, attacking this poor man for ever since the recall, and they've gotten it wrong every time. I feel like saying, why don't you just apologize to this guy? You've had death threats and everything else. I mean, he's been trying to do the job for the state of Wisconsin, for the people there, to do the job for our state, not D.C. and the big, you know, the big government telling us what to do. He's been running our state efficiently. That's what we want. We want the honesty and integrity, and, you know, he's a family man. I can't say enough about Scott Walker and his values and morals. That to me, this is what we want. You know.
Yeah. Well, let's get a reaction. Thank you, Janice. What Dennis Dreesing, was this, you know, a referendum on Scott Walker? Not he was elected. He was elected again after the recall, and now yet again by a fairly healthy margin. Does this mean the state of Wisconsin approves of the way Scott Walker is governing Wisconsin?
Well, certainly of the people who voted, and again, there's the issue of turnout. The people who voted, good, healthy majority, indeed, agree with the caller that Scott Walker is good for Wisconsin. He is somebody who deserves to be in the office, and they've got every right to celebrate. The other side of it is that the state is very, very polarized, and there are a lot of people who would have a caveat to all of the accolades that go to Scott Walker and say, well, you know, he's maybe a very strong leader in terms of pushing his agenda and providing direction, but he does it at the sacrifice of polarizing the state. There is the issue of turnout again, where, boy, you know, the Republicans have done a wonderful job campaigning. They've presented themselves well. They won the election. They deserve congratulations and bouquets. On the other hand, if you sort of win and the notion is that, well, you know, if more people had voted, you probably would have lost. Well, that kind of puts a little bit of a fly in the ointment and makes one hesitate a bit and raises this issue of polarization.
Well, you know, after the recall, there was some grumping on the left that Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett was not the best candidate to run against Governor Walker. And I'm seeing some grumping online this morning that Mary Burke was not the best candidate to run against Scott Walker. Are the Democrats to blame for Scott Walker winning?
Well, I think that it's natural to blame the candidate. I think that the polling that has been done over this past year, actually a couple of years, really seemed to indicate that it really was not going to make much difference who the Democratic candidate was going to be, that the votes for Mary Burke were primarily votes against Scott Walker. Mary Burke is a newcomer on the political scene. Again, polling results indicated that not that many people, Democrats, Republicans, independents, knew that much about her, which was understandable. She had not held an office in state government before other than being on the cabinet for a couple of years. And that was not the most visible kind of position for anybody to have in state government. So it was really more a kind of people like the caller, very enthusiastic, good supporters of Scott Walker, and people who really disagreed very much with the characterization that was made and were against him. And again, didn't make any difference who the candidate was going to be.
Doug in Lancaster has a thought along these lines. Hello, Doug.
Hello, Joy. Thanks for having me on this morning. You did touch on a point that I was just about to make. I am an independent voter. And what I believe is that this is, once again, not a referendum for Scott Walker. His unlikables are extremely high. This is a failure of the Democratic Party in Wisconsin, yet again, to field a candidate who people can get behind. 2 years ago, during the recall, they ran Tom Barrett for a second time, and he lost by a wider margin than he did in a regular election. My personal belief is I would like to see somebody with some name recognition and somebody who's shown bipartisan support. Russ Feingold is sitting in Janesville, you know, on his hands, and I think that's somebody that people could get behind versus just being against somebody who's already in office.
All right. Thank you very much, Doug. We don't have time for a response before our news break, but we'll get our guest, Dennis Driesang, Professor Emeritus of Public Affairs and Political Science at UW-Madison, to react after the news. And we'll welcome your reaction to the election results from yesterday. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So are you generally happy or upset with how the elections panned out? This is the Ideas Network. Are you cheering or crying about yesterday's election results? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is our post-election coverage, talking all morning long with guests from different perspectives about how we voted and why. We are discussing why Governor Walker won re-election. And we're talking about other contests as well and welcoming your reactions and questions and thoughts on what now. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking with Dennis Driesang, Professor Emeritus of Public Affairs and Political Science at UW-Madison, the founding director of La Follette School of Public Affairs. Well, a quick reaction, Professor Driesang, to our caller before the news who said a candidate like Russ Feingold would have excited more Democratic voters and boosted the turnout. Your thoughts on that?
Well, it's possible. One can certainly speculate that somebody who had more name recognition would have changed the election from either you're a for Walker or against Walker to considering other kinds of issues. Russ Feingold did lose last time he ran for a statewide office for his bid for re-election to the U.S. Senate. A lot of people have talked about Herb Kohl as perhaps the ideal candidate from the perspective that the caller had. But it's hard to know it, in terms of speculating.
I mean, Russ Feingold lost in the Republican wave of 2010. I mean, is this Republican wave, I don't know, continuing, rejuvenating? Is Wisconsin turning more conservative?
Well, I don't think that it is. I think that, again, as we kind of talked about it before the break, that the big issue is turnout. 2 years ago, Wisconsin was very, very blue. And the main reason why it was blue is because the people who are more casual voters, I suppose you might call them, people who really get excited about presidential elections and vote then, but they don't vote in other elections, that made the difference. And so it's not really a matter of people in Wisconsin changing their mind or changing their allegiances so much as it is the question of, well, who's actually going to turn out and vote?
Yeah. Lots of callers, but I am curious, do you think there could be a change in state Democratic Party leadership following the losses last night, the recalls and 2010?
Well, I think that certainly is possible. I think that's something that gets reviewed after every election, particularly by the party that suffered defeat. 2 years from now, it's really going to be a very different kind of set of issues. 2 years from now, we're not going to have the kind of thing which was really national of anti-Obama as a theme. 2 years from now, we'll have a presidential election. There'll be more people who will be going out to vote. So there'll be different candidates and different issues. And whether or not you necessarily need to have new leadership in the party, remember, the party, especially in Wisconsin, is not that strong of an institution. It's not like the Democratic Party got together in a room and decided who the candidates were going to be. People have to come forward and run in a primary, and that's how they get on the ballot. So whoever is kind of doing the administrative work and trying to get people to think about running and think about being active, they play an important role, but it's not like the party that goes out and says, okay, you're our candidate next time around.
Let's go to George in Milwaukee. Hi, George.
Hi. Yeah, a bit of a related question. I'm wondering what Professor Griesing thinks, how the Democratic Party might go even on a national level after this loss. Do you think they're going to tend more to the left, to the right, or stay about where they are?
Well, my guess is that they're probably going to stay about where they are, in part because that's where their constituents are. Again, it's sort of a major issue is turnout. Wisconsin is very polarized. The people who voted for Walker this time around are the same people who voted for him in the recall and 4 years ago. And just even looking geographically and exit polls, the demographics. That's a similar story nationally. Unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, unfortunately, the country as well as the state has become very, very polarized. And you really need some major event or some major charismatic political leader to break out of this polarized, these tunnels, fenced-in kinds of units that we've got right now.
Well, of course, 2 years from now, it's another presidential election, and lots of speculation whether Governor Walker is going to be a part of that race. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I think that he certainly is in the conversation. He is not alone. And there are a lot of people who are in the conversation for being the nominee of the Republican Party. We'll have to see. I mean, there's some people who have more name recognition nationally than he does. Some people who have more access to the donors, both the super PACs and PACs, as well as individual donors that are key to funding in primaries. You think what happened 4 years ago with the Republican primary, you get a lot of different candidates, and boy, you know, some of them last through one primary and that's it, and others kind of continue on. I think we're probably going to have a very similar dynamic this time around because there really isn't a major forerunner.
I've been hearing that in 2016, while Republicans took control of the Senate last night, I think they picked up seven Senate seats and a lot House seats as well, made an even bigger majority in the House, that this is going to be short-lived, in that a lot of Republican seats will be up in 2016, and some commentators are saying it's gonna switch back then.
Yes, and I think that there's a lot to that kind of observation. It just so happens. I mean, when you're sort of every 2 years we're reelecting or electing one-third of the United States Senate. And so a major question is, well, okay, which Senate seats are up? Which ones are open, open seats? Because it's always easier to pick up where you've got an open seat than defeating an incumbent. And which states? As we know, Wisconsin did not participate in selecting a U.S. senator yesterday. And the election that we had yesterday really did have more opportunities for Republicans to pick up seats than the Democrats had. Democrats were really playing defense, and they normally would play defense because whoever doesn't control the White House, just historically, has a tougher time in the off-year elections. 2 years from now, indeed, it's going to be different. The Republicans are going to have more vulnerability in terms of getting their folks reelected. Democrats are going to have more of a chance, both because of which seats are up, but also because of the presidential election and the effects on turnout.
Well, all of Wisconsin's congressional delegation all incumbents were reelected. The only open seat, Wisconsin's 6th congressional seat, which is East Central Wisconsin, currently represented by the retiring U.S. Representative Tom Petri, a Republican from Fond du Lac. This one goes to State Senator Glenn Grothman, who is known to be a conservative Republican, sometimes controversial, a conservative Republican. He defeated Winnebago County Executive, a Democrat, Mark Harris. So what does that say?
Well, he, meaning Glenn Grothman, won a hotly contested primary, and the primary, quite frankly, was the real election for that particular congressional district. It's a very Republican area, always has been. Petri was a Republican, as you pointed out. He was more moderate. Opposition to get Glenn Grothman in the primary was more moderate than Grothman. We'll probably hear about him. Lots of times you don't hear about people who are in the House of Representatives because there are so many of them. But, as you point out, he's prone to make very controversial kinds of statements. He generates a lot of visibility, and he kind of presents for Wisconsin a similar kind of phenomenon that Virginia has with David Bratt, someone more to the right of Eric Cantor winning. And there are a number of other, about seven or eight of those kinds of situations around the country, which means that often it's referred to as the Tea Party faction within the House of Representatives is going to be somewhat strengthened.
And I promise we'll get to our callers who are waiting, who all want to talk about the governor's race and Governor Walker's victory coming up after our break. But one more question on the national scene. Now that Republicans have control of both houses of Congress, including the Senate, what does this mean for a policy in terms of, say, the Affordable Care Act or immigration?
Well, on the Affordable Care Act, there's an issue of continued funding for some of the key provisions. There seems to be less of an inclination among Republicans now about repealing it. Some people are still saying repeal it, but it's more either tweaking or making some reforms. On immigration, hotly debated issue within the Republican Party, and particularly in the House of Representatives. I think that you go issue by issue. There's some environmental issues, climate change issues, reliance on fossil fuel, where there might be some agreement. But remember, the agreement's got to include the president. The president's got veto authority. The other thing is that, and this is more to the U.S. Senate, is the question that is, I don't know exactly what the answer is going to be, but judicial appointments and the need for confirmation by the Senate. I mean, the president still has to make the nomination, but is this going to mean that vacancies will just sit there, or is the president going to work with Republicans and have moderate to conservative individuals nominated? Those are all questions that have to be addressed now. Had the Democrats maintained control of the Senate, we probably could safely predict we'd have two more years like we've just had, which has some real disadvantages.
We are talking about, we are recapping, analyzing, breaking down yesterday's election results, and we will get to your calls, your reactions in just a moment. Our guest is Dennis Driesing, a professor emeritus of public affairs and political science at UW-Madison. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are discussing why we voted the way we voted yesterday and welcoming your reactions and questions for our guest political analyst. And our next caller is Bob in Stevens Point. Hello, Bob.
Good morning. Joy, by the way, I think I want to correct what you said. Did you say that there were no losses in the assembly for Democrats?
No, I didn't say that.
Because the right lost in Ruink is, they say, close enough for a recount. But my original remark, I think the biggest losers was the educational establishment. You can call that union and maybe even the public sector unions. I think they were too zealous, and that goes back to the recall, and I think that's true right now, and I thank you very much.
All right, so the educational establishment, I think he's talking about WEAC in particular, too zealous, and they're the losers here. What's your reaction to that, Professor Driesing?
Well, I think that's probably a fair comment. They certainly were a supporter of Mary Burke and probably more accurately an opponent of Scott Walker. And if one speculates about, well, what would have happened if Mary Burke had been elected governor, I think it's fairly clear that there would have been some changes in terms of state funds going to local school districts. Under Governor Walker, this local school districts did take a really big hit, and some money has been restored, but overall it's been a net loss for public education. And then there's the issue of vouchers, and so there are a lot of concerns, not just for the unions but public education, that one can raise as issues here.
Yeah, we will be talking with WEAC President Betsy Kippers at about 8:45 this morning. So we'll get her reaction, too. Very briefly, in the terms of vouchers, education, can we expect with, a Republican-controlled legislature and Governor Walker's reelection that we are going to see an expansion of school choice, for example?
I think we can, yeah. That has been something that's been on the agenda, and Governor Walker and various Republican candidates for the state legislature have said that if they are in office in this next session, that that's going to be high on the agenda.
Yeah. Let's go to Tom in Port Wing next. Hello, Tom.
Good morning, Joy. I just wanted to defend Mary Burke as a Republican. I thought, and I'm being quite honest here, I thought Mary Burke was an excellent candidate. She didn't get beaten badly. I mean, she did lose. She had money. She had enough charisma. She was a good candidate. I don't think your guest should, kind of put her down as a candidate. I thought she was excellent. I don't understand why beat up Mary Burke, because she didn't get beaten that bad.
I don't think Professor Driesing was putting her down. We were talking that caller, in fact, thought that that if there was a stronger Democratic candidate, the results would have been different. Were you beating up on Mary Burke, Professor Driesing?
I certainly didn't intend to. No.
Let's go. How much do you think it hurt Mary Burke that in the last days of the campaign there was the report generated by a conservative website talking to former truck executives who are now with the Republican Party, claiming that she was fired by her family from Trek and then had to defend that and say that it was not true?
It's conceivable that there were some people who may have voted for her who said, I guess maybe I'm going to just sit this one out. But I doubt that it had any major effect. I think that the media did a good job of reporting this and identifying the source of this particular accusation. And I think that it came across generally as one of those kind of classic last-minute smear attempts more than as a serious kind of attack on Mary Burke's ability to be governor. So I doubt that it had very much effect. Probably, if it had any effect, it just reinforced what a lot of people feel, which is a kind of cynicism towards government and politics.
Yeah, let's go to Joan in Williams Bay. Hi, Joan.
Yeah, good morning, Joy. I was wondering what Professor Driesing would think about this. I think that the voters heard more taxes by voting for Burke with her programs like universal education through college, I think. Whereas with Walker, I think the voters heard that you can make a deal, make money, and taxes wouldn't be raised for those kind of programs. The middle class and people in general are hurting. They can't support any more than they are. They need to hit jobs, and I think Walker did good in showing how many jobs it was available under him.
Well, it's interesting. That was what Mary Burke was criticizing him for, not really creating as many jobs as he said he would or that other states in the area had. But with only a couple of minutes, what about that? The majority voted for Walker because he promised jobs and no more taxes.
Well, again, I think people made up their mind on this election a long time ago, and issues were not really the major issue. It was whether or not you liked Scott Walker and his style of leadership. But I think that the issue of taxes was a mixed one because, yes, he cut taxes, particularly for the wealthy people and businesses, but then opened himself up to an accusation of being fiscally irresponsible because we're now headed for a deficit in the next budget. And the jobs issue, yeah, more jobs were created. Well, yeah, you would sort of really expect that unless we're going through terrible, terrible economic times. But it wasn't that the growth rate of that he promised or the growth rate experienced by most other states. So that one's a real mixture.
Yeah. So in 30 seconds, what's your takeaway from the election results?
Well, the takeaway is that Republicans statewide and nationally did extremely well. They should be congratulated. As I mentioned very early on, you know, you sort of wish that there wasn't that looming thing about, well, if more people turned out, Democrats probably would have done a lot better.
Yeah, well, we'll have to leave it there. I want to thank you very much for being with us. Dennis Driesing, a professor emeritus of public affairs and political science at UW-Madison. This is the Ideas Network.